Well, to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Howe. Yes, it has been a sweet, sweet journey. Brother Howe, both and I, about initially when we launched out in the work of the kingdom, was close around the same exact time. And the Lord connected our hearts then, and we've been partners in the work for quite some time now, and got to see each other's kids grow up, now grandchildren, grand arrows coming on the scene, and what a treat it has been to see what God's done with him through the years and what he's still yet to do. And Stephanie and I will celebrate this month, I think it's 34 years married now, and like I said, we have seven to grand arrows, three daughters grown, three pretty girls, and they launched out in various parts of the country. And it is a delight to see them mother and be wives and take care of their families and do what God has gifted them to be able to do. And we have one that's in transition right now that's down in San Antonio, Texas. They just moved from Colorado Springs. They hadn't even moved yet. They are in the process of moving, and they are putting all their stuff in storage and then headed this away. We're going to try to go take a family beach trip. It'd be the first one we've all been able to get together, even the in-laws coming. And so I think there's going to be about 20 of us together on the beach this coming up week. And so we appreciate y'all praying for us and that our food bill don't kill us. Are you with me? And but yes, what a joy. What a joy it is, my bride, Stephanie, like I said, and what a treat it is to be able to serve the King together. So I want you today, if you would, as Brother Ray was pointing out, just in the fact that when you think about relationships, and then you think about relationships that are vital, that are vibrant, that are thriving, that are growing, they always have that element, as he mentioned, communication involved in it. Listening. How many of you husbands wish your wife listened to you more? Brother Mooney said he does. How many of you wives wish your husbands listened to you? Oh, well, this is a pretty good place. I tell you what, they got it going on, right? They got it going on. Well, you know, there's two occasions, there's probably more, but there's specifically two occasions in the Psalms, Psalm 116 and also in Psalm 28. The scriptures refer to the psalmist who says, "I love the Lord because he has heard me." Because he has heard me. You see, any growing, vital, thriving relationship, there is a reciprocal dynamic in communication. One is listening to the other on both sides, and that can't help but grow and blossom. And as David penned those Psalms, one of the things that he said about his love for the Lord was the fact that he knew when he sought God, God would hear him. And God was going to listen to him. That the Father was going to listen to his cry. He was going to listen to his heart. He was going to hear him, and he would lift up his voice. That wasn't in question whether God was going to listen and hear him. And he said, "I love the Lord. My love is rooted in this reality, this revelation that God listens to me." And you see, God listens to us because God loves us and because God cares for us. You can throw and cast every burden, every question, every delight, everything you have, you can cast it on the Lord. He's not offended by anything you can bring to him that you want to throw on him. There's not one question that he's intimidated by. Matter of fact, his wisdom is not intimidated by anything. There's not one thing that God is intimidated by. So you can throw everything you have on him, and I want to tell you, he's listening. He loves you. He cares for you. But even more so than that, he wants to lead and guide you in this life. So in a reciprocal relationship, not only will he listen to you, but the key is, are you listening to him? Amen. Are you listening to him? Am I listening to him? David understood as he penned those things. Yes, God listens to me. And I know that because I listen to him. I know because I hear him. And I bring that back to him. I love questions. I love asking questions before the Lord. I love asking God's people questions when I'm out and about. I love asking people on the streets and the highways and the byways questions, because questions open up doors, and doors open up opportunities, and opportunities open up redeeming times to take advantage of the time to bring the light of what Jesus has done and doing in my own life. I love fielding questions when we go places from people. I may not have the solution or the answer to every question, but I know somebody who does, and I can point them to him. Amen. Amen. And I know other people that may know and have better answers than what I have. So we'll find an answer if you got a question. We're going to find somebody, and we'll search this word till we can't search it no more to seek a solution from the Lord. But the Bible is filled up with questions, and one of the most important questions ever asked, and it's an open-ended question. It's an open-ended question. It's asked twice in the scriptures, or brought to light in the scriptures twice, and it's brought to light in Isaiah 53 and also in Acts chapter 8, when Philip walked alongside that eunuch that day and he talked about Isaiah 53. But the question goes like this: who will declare his generation or his times? Meaning that Jesus, the suffering lamb who was the sacrifice of God and the substitute on my behalf and your behalf, he was cut off early, the scripture says, at a ripe age of 33. And they was doing trials illegally. And the question is, who then will take up his cause? Who then will declare his times, his days, what he did, where he was at, what he was doing? Who would do it? Who would do it? Amen. And the question is open-ended, because the question still applies today. Amen. Who are going to go tell the story of Jesus? And I pray you stand up today and say, I will. I'll go tell what they did to him. I'll go tell what he did on behalf of me. I'll go tell what took place when God took my sin and transferred it upon him at the cross of Calvary, so that God could take his righteousness and transfer it to me. I'll go tell that story. Amen. Because I want to tell you, if it wasn't for the blessed interruption of Jesus and his invasion of grace, I'd be in trouble today. Amen. I'd be in trouble. I was talking to a couple of fellas out here earlier. If they knew an old game warden that used to be a game warden here in Jasper County. Mr. Palmer. Anybody know, y'all remember Game Warden Palmer? Who, some of y'all older fellas probably remember him, because that goes back a ways. Well, his son, Keith Palmer, is in my fellowship up at Briggs Chapel in Porterville, Mississippi. And he mentioned that his dad used to be the game warden over Jasper County. He said, you go ahead and ask a few folks around if they remember him. I said, Keith, I used to be an outlaw. And outlaws didn't like game wardens. Are you with me? They were always looking out for the game warden, but they wasn't buddies up with the game warden. You know what I'm talking about? I used to slip and do all those kind of things too. And so I avoided the game warden. I said, I mentioned your dad there. Them people may not appreciate that. He said, oh no, my dad was a good guy. They'd like my dad. Game Warden Palmer. So if y'all remember him, well, his son, just a small world that it is in our fellowship, and a servant of the King. But I want you to take the revelation you brought with you today and go to the book of Proverbs. Let's look in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse number 8. I want you to think about this. You know, there's a lot that we should do. How many of y'all have some things you should do? There's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that we would like to do. There's a lot that we may want to do, but there's really only one thing that we need to do, and that's what God asked us to do. Amen? What God asked us to do. And I just want to highlight a passage this morning for you to begin to think about. And we're gonna look at a couple things. We'll probably use the word this morning, if y'all don't mind. We'll dig around in it and just see what the Lord has asked us to do. And one of the things that I know without question God has asked His people to do is that God has asked us to go reach a hostile world for Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. What did Jesus tell His disciples, or what does He tell us before He ascended on high? What did He tell them? All power or authority has been granted to me in heaven and upon earth. Go, therefore, and make what? Disciples of all the nations. Now, you got to keep in mind, He had just told His disciples that there were going to be people that would hate them because of Him. There would be people that would turn them over, and there would be family members that wouldn't appreciate them, and people would mistreat them and put them in prison and be abusive and all these different things to them. So the very people who we can call hostile to the message of Jesus, to the life of Jesus, that's who Jesus just launched His disciples out to go reach. So we can say that Jesus has called us, He has graced us in the kingdom to go reach the hostiles for Him. That's what we do as disciple makers, that we go into a hostile world of all the nations, of all the peoples, of every tribe, every tongue, every language, whether they look like us, smell like us, act like us, think like us, do like us, that doesn't matter. What matters is the Master has given us a commission to go reach the hostiles for Him. Now, He's the one going to save them, and all God's people said, but there's nobody going to be saved apart from a witness that has been empowered by the Spirit of God, operating within the Word of God, the Gospel, and walking in the light of that power and that Gospel to deliver it to a person that they can give them the Gospel. Because nobody comes to the kingdom apart through the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And the only way they'll ever get the Gospel is that missionaries, messengers, witnesses have to go to them. There's nothing in the Scriptures that tell us that God tells a world that doesn't know Him, that doesn't love Him, that doesn't like Him, that don't want Him. Nothing in there tells them to come here and gather with us today. But the Word is full where God tells us to get out there among them and go tell them about Him. Amen? Amen. That's what He asked us to do, to reach the hostiles for Jesus. Now, when we reach them, when we reach people with the message of Christ, what's the next thing that we, or what are we obligated to do with those that we reach? Then we teach the disciples how to follow Jesus. How to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus has asked us as the believers, as the church, as the disciples of Himself. That's what He's asked us to do. Reach the hostiles. When you reach them, then you teach them. And who do you teach? You teach the disciples. Because that's what Jesus came to make. When Jesus births someone into the kingdom, Brother Ray, they become a disciple. Every born-again believer that's made a new creature in Christ Jesus becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that disciple, as they follow Jesus, start looking like Jesus, and the world around them start recognizing them as Christ's followers, and that's how we pick up a name called Christian. But what He came to make is disciples, as the commission goes. What did He tell them? Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them those things which I taught you, baptizing them, what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, Brother Leo, I'm with you. Until the what? End of the earth, end of the age, end of the time. It's in the going that Jesus
is with us. And His authority is with us. His power is with us. His calling on our life is with us. So as a believer, as a disciple, He's asked me, and not only has He asked me, He's commissioned me, and He's graced me, He's gifted me, and you as a disciple, to reach these hostels around you. Do y'all still have some hostels in Lewin? Do y'all still have some heathen in Lewin? Man, the hostels are everywhere, aren't they? Do y'all still have some hostels that when you go see them, they tell you that they know Jesus? But you know there's no evidence of grace on their life. You can't see Jesus on them. There's no evidence that they like Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:22, if a man doesn't like the Lord Jesus, he uses the word love, and the word love he uses is the word phileo, which means a brotherly love, an affectionate kind of love. You like people that you like, and there's some people you don't like. And all God's people say it? Amen. And you know the kind of people you don't like, and when you don't like people, you don't hang out with them. Amen? You don't want to learn their ways. You don't want to investigate about their life. It's just the way that it is. That's who we are as people. When you don't like people, you don't find out about them. But when you like a person, even though you don't know why you like the person, but you just like the person, Brother Howe.
That's right.
You're just fond of them. The more you want to know about them, amen?
Amen?
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever met somebody you didn't know nothing about them? First time you met them, just liked them. That person's interesting. I kind of want to know a little bit more about them. Well, Paul says if a person doesn't have that kind of love for Jesus, that person is still condemned in their sins. He says they are anathema. And these preachers know these bigger words. I'm not an educated guy. I got to go look these things up myself and try to remember them and hide them away. But anathema means to be cursed, still under condemnation. And Paul said, if a man doesn't like, have an affection for, is fond of, wants to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, that same person is still in condemnation. Because there's something supernatural that takes place within a person's life when they've been born again. When they've been born again, they've been made a new creature, and a new creature has new affections. And that new affection, because of God living within them, the presence of God within them, and what He's done in them, He plants the truth in us. And when the truth ever gets in you, the truth's in you forever. Amen. It's in you forever. John tells us that in 2 John. He says, brother, if the truth ever gets in you, the truth is in you forever. And the truth, when it's in a brother, they have a love for the brethren. Not only a love for the brethren, but they have a love for the truth. And when you have a love for the truth and the love for those that have been born again, you want to know more about them, amen. You want to know more about Him. And I tell you, you can't learn a little bit about Jesus and not love Him, amen. So we reach in hostels out there, and many of these hostels, Brother Keith, they tell you that they have a relationship with Jesus, but their relationship is just Him and them, and nobody can tell them any different. They lone rangers, and I want to tell you, the kingdom has no lone rangers. And all God's people said,
amen.
You join into the community of the brethren. You are immersed. The Bible refers to it as being baptized into Christ. You are immersed into Christ and His body. And it's impossible to abide in Jesus and not abide within His body. Stay connected to His body. You get out of fellowship with His body, you out of fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
You get out of fellowship with Jesus, there's nothing you can do of any eternal value or significance in what God does in His chastening love. Not His chastening wrath, but His chastening love is to bring us back to that. Amen. Bring us back to abide and stay connected to Him. So we reach these hostels so that we can teach these disciples that have been made these new creatures in Christ Jesus. And He's asked us to equip them. He's gifted your pastors. Brother Howe,
Brother Leo, Brother Keith. He's equipped or gave, as Ephesians 4 would say, that when Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. Now, where that comes out of the psalm says that he receives gifts from men. So if he receives gifts and he gives gifts, the picture is that he gave gifts so that he could receive gifts from his people. Because that which is not of the grace of God is of no eternal value. So your pastors, your leaders, your servants, your teachers were given to you as a gift from Jesus for what? To equip the saints for the work of, what is it? For ministry. For ministry, to serve one another. So when we're teaching the disciples, we then equipping the brethren to serve one another. And God has given every single new creature in Christ, every disciple, a heavenly gift so that that disciple can what? Build up his body, to edify his body through love and his wisdom. Amen? Now, I know that is what God has asked us, graced us, and gifted us all to do. And there's no one exempt from that. Amen? That's in the body of Christ. Nobody's exempt. Everybody has been gifted to do a service gift unto the Lord. Now, when we equip them, how do we bring all this together? It's then that we are what? Mobilizing the missionaries to go with Jesus. So we're reaching people, teaching people, equipping people, and mobilizing people to the glory of Jesus Christ. That is the calling upon Lewin Baptist Church or First Lewin or the Methodist Church or anybody that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all in the family of God of what? Reaching, teaching, equipping, and mobilizing people to go for Jesus. Amen? That's the mission. That's the assignment. It's not as complicated as we've made it. Amen. It's that simple to reach, teach, equip, and mobilize missionaries to win this community for Jesus. Jasper County, Smith County, Kemper County, Lauderdale County, Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana, and wherever else we go. These preachers will probably tell you this, but when Jesus gave them that commission and he said, look, go into all the world and make disciples. The word go is in a tense that means that as you go, while you're going, you're already going. While you go, go with this priority. What priority? To make disciples, to reach people. You're already going. How many of y'all go to work? Raise your hand. Is that job a mission field? And all God's people said? Yes, it sure is. It's a mission field. God puts light where? He puts it in dark places. Amen. He puts it in his people so that his people will be planted where he plants them so that they could what? Reach, teach, equip, and mobilize. Reach, teach, equip, and mobilize. That's what he's given us to do. How many of you go see your grandkids or your kids play ball? How many of y'all work out? Y'all thought that was funny, huh? Well, how many of y'all walk? Y'all got a place y'all walk around here? Do they have some other folks out there walking with you? Everybody we walk with has been born again and redeemed by the blood of Jesus? No, 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 no. God puts us in past. Brother Ray, you're an operator, right? Was. People still consult with you every once in a while? You ever get in a track hole as of late? There's always opportunities that God gives us. You probably don't go like you used to go, right? You probably was a busy bee at one time in your life, huh?
Sure was.
You can't do what you used to do. I see your cookbook. I got to looking at your cookbook when I was sitting behind you, and I saw that what's that say? Southern sweet potato pie. You planning on making one of them?
No.
What you making out of there?
This.
Ooh, a strawberry delight.
I brought the recipe because several people wanted it.
They wanted it. You know, a good way to reach people would be to, you can make one of those strawberry delights. And I'm willing to say, Brother Mooney back there will pick that thing up and go bring it to somebody that you can take and write out your testimony of when Jesus interrupted your life and invaded you with his grace, put you on a course of following after him, and they could bring it to somebody in this community who don't know him, that you give them a good old sweet boy look. They won't get mad at you when you send them that strawberry delight, amen? But you send them with a word. How many of y'all still like potting plants? Some of y'all pretty good with it? Well, that's a good way to take a pot with a plant and write out your testimony of what God's done for you. If you have difficulty maybe verbalizing it until you get really well and equipped, you may not be as equipped as Brother Keith or Brother Howell or one of these others in here of sharing things fluently, but boy, you can sure enough take your time, handwrite it or type it out or whatever it is, and use that. Do y'all still have telephones in Lewin? Well, a lot of people got rid of their home lines. Are you with me? They just use cell phones now. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if you still got a phone, you could easily pick up that phone. Now, I want to ask this. Does people still gossip in Lewin? How fast does it fly around here? It'll get around pretty quick, right? Well, look, wouldn't it be neat, God, get a hold of this community, get a hold of the people of God in it, and they realize and recognize that, look, everything in my life is to reach people for Jesus. I'm to be bent on this. I'm to be sold out for this. Amen. So that we can teach them. They'll never live for the glory of God until they've been reached by Jesus. Look, Jesus reaches us in our sin, amen. You ain't got to go get cleaned up. He's going to find you in your trouble, in your sin. What does Titus 2:11 says? For the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we may say yes, yes to righteousness, yes to Jesus, yes to him. To learn how to live and look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness, all iniquity, and purify unto himself his own people. He's going to reach people in their sins. But see, when Jesus reaches in your sin, he impeaches you from governing your own life. You ain't going to sit on the throne and do it your way. Amen?
Amen.
He takes, oh, he's king. Y'all say with me, Jesus is
king.
And he impeaches us from the throne. And then he teaches us how to live in this life unto his glory. Now, we're not going to do it flawlessly. He did. We're not going to do it blamelessly. He did. And our goal is not perfection. Our goal is our master, our teacher. We want to know him, amen. We want to know what he's about. We want to know what he's doing. We want to be involved in what he's doing. We want to learn from him, follow him, and walk with him. I had a guy come paint our house. The church did, that our pastor. We had a guy come and paint the parsonage where we live. And he was a neighbor guy. He was in the community, and it was an opportunity for him, and they put him to work. And he's got a German Shepherd dog. And that dog goes everywhere he goes. Where he's at, that dog is at. And when he's cutting wood, you go find that dog got sawdust all over him. when he's painting the house, he's got white paint and black paint or whatever it is. It's on his hips, on his tail. Whatever his master is involved in, the marks of it are on the dog. And I want to tell you, the same thing applies for Jesus. Amen. What Jesus is involved in, the marks of it will be on his servants. Amen. Amen. On his disciples. On his disciples. So look, pick up that phone and call somebody and let them know somebody loves them, somebody cares for them, somebody gave their life for them, and you want to be someone in their life that they can turn to, and you'll listen to them, and that you'll bring those petitions to Jesus. But more than anything, you want them to be reconciled to Jesus so that they can have peace with God. So that they can have peace from God, what God says about living life and trusting it and walk in it. And the things we just don't have answers for, we can have peace that goes beyond understanding, the peace of God in this world we live in, simply because we trust the living Savior. We trust the living Savior. Now, to reach, teach, equip, and mobilize, you have to be committed to gather with the people of God. You have to be committed. You have to sell out to it. I cannot be taught nor equipped nor mobilized and continually be in the process of reaching people if I'm out there trying to do it by myself. It doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us you and I, no matter how smart you may be or wise you may be, none of us can know the depth, height, width, and breadth of the love of God by ourselves. We need one another. Amen. Don't you need a family? And when you come into Jesus, you come into the family of God. And the only way to grow with them, you got to gather with them. Now, when you gather with them, you have to connect with them. You got to connect with them. It's too easy to come sit on a pew and you sit side by side. You have to fellowship with one another. You got to get around the table with one another. You got to get in each other's homes with one another. You got to be in classrooms and learning together so you can connect in life through fellowship. And then you have to have the objective to help what? Edify, build up, and equip one another so that we can all be on the same mission that he's given us to what? Reach, teach, equip, and mobilize. Y'all say that with me. I know I've said it a bunch, but you ought to be able to say it back to me, right? Amen. What has Jesus asked us, graced us, and gifted us to do? What? Reach people. You can say reach the hostiles, reach the heathen, reach a sinful world. You were there at one time. I was there as well. I can act like a fool at times. How many of y'all can act like a fool? How many of you walk according to the flesh and act like a fool? Well, you see, the believer is not going to be characteristically known as a fool. We reach people. What's the next one? Teach them. That's that investment of one another with one another. Because look, the brethren in here are going to be able to help me see things I couldn't see. We all have blind spots in our life. We all can't see everything. That's why God put a man and a woman together to make them one flesh, to be a complement to one another. I'm inadequate without my bride. She's inadequate without me. We need one another. And you as the bride of Christ, we as the bride of Christ, need one another as we connect to Jesus. Amen. As we abide in him. What's the next thing? Not only what when we teach and we doing it so that we can equip them for the work that we all, the work. When Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He doesn't give us rest from the work. He gives us rest what? In the work. We take his yoke in the work. We learn from him in the work. In the work. And then the ultimate where we taking it is so that we can help mobilize one another so that others can go out and what? Reach, teach, equip, and just keep mobile. That's discipling. Amen? Amen. But you see, we got to gather, we got to connect, and we have to edify, build up one another for that to happen. Now, I'm going to read this passage, and then tonight when we come back, We're going to look at it from the perspective, okay, well, if I'm not doing that, why am I not reaching? Why am I not teaching? Why am I not involved in the equipping stage? And all of us have to be involved in these dynamics one way or another. One area I'm going to be more proficient in or better in or more equipped in than the other. But you see, I'm there to help somebody else who's got a more equipped gift to do something I can't do. So we work in this together. But notice what the passage says. I said 27:8, right? 27:8. Notice what it says. See, God's got a place for us. It says 27:8, like a bird that wandereth from its nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. God has a place. The idea of the bird here is the idea of a fledgling. What do we normally find when we find a fledgling that has wandered or fallen out of the nest? What condition is that bird in when we find that bird not in the nest? It's usually what? Dying, dead, or it's already decomposing. That's the three conditions you're going to find a fledgling that has fallen out of. The fledgling can't get itself back in. The fledgling is dying. Now it's vulnerable to everything out there simply because it got too close to the edge and wandered out of the nest and fell out. That fledgling is dying, or we've already stumbled on it. It's already dead in a lot of cases. It's been dead for a little while, and it's decomposing. You see, God has a nest for us. Think about it like this. What does Psalm 91 teach us about abiding under the what? Under the what? Y'all say it with me. What does Psalm 91 teach us about abiding under the pinions or the wings, under the shadow or the protective care of the Almighty, that God has what? A nest for us to abide in, to remain in. Psalm 81 would say it like this. The Lord said, I wanted to feed my people mouth to mouth. I wanted to feed them, but they wouldn't open their mouths wide and let me feed them. You ever come across a bird that's got a 3 or 4 or 2 little babies in there, and when that mama's flying around or that daddy's flying around, and as they get close to that nest and they go to land on it, when they land on it, what does those little birds do? Do that one more time for me. There it is. They open that mouth wide and those little necks are doing this, right? Just as unstable and weak and as feeble as they could possibly be. And how does that mama feed that little baby? She takes that seed, or she takes that insect, or she takes that little worm, whatever it is, and what does she do? Mouth to mouth. Puts it down in that mouth, and that little baby gobbles it up, and mama flies out, and she comes back, and boy, they just all want a little morsel. And that mama comes back and feeds that next one. Well, you know, that's how God says that he fed Moses mouth to mouth when he didn't feed other people that away. Psalm 81 tells us that's how God wanted to feed his people. He would have subdued all their enemies and their adversaries if they would have simply just what? Listen to him. That's how God feeds us, listening to him. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God. So you see, hearing in the kingdom of God is seeing. I can see what Jesus sees. When Jesus is feeding me mouth to mouth, he's putting his word in me. I'm trusting what he gives me. But if I'm out of the place that he's feeding in, I'm abiding in what? I'm abiding in death. I'm abiding in death. And if I'm not reaching people, teaching people, equipping people, and mobilizing people as a priority of my life, I'm out of the nest. I'm not in the nest. I have left my place. I'm doing my thing, Brother Ray. Brother Howe, and now I am subject to every cat and that lion that walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'm just subject to him. He can take advantage of me. Why? I'm not being fed with what I need to do the work that I've been assigned to. Now everything in this world is feeding me, but not the Almighty. And now I'm not reaching. Matter of fact, I just get up from morning to morning. I go about my business and I don't seek the Lord. I don't come to the Lord for prayer. I'm not pursuing him with all my heart. And I find myself unsettled in the day that is ahead of me. I get frustrated. How many of y'all get frustrated with people? How many of y'all see the frequency of that frustration increasing on a daily, regular basis? You know what that's telling us? The scripture says that, look, God will keep us in perfect peace when our eyes are fixed on him. When we trust in him. Isaiah 26:3. Peace is not something you keep yourself in. God keeps you in peace. Peace is a byproduct of righteousness, and righteousness is a byproduct of faith. And faith is a product of grace. And grace is a product of God. And when God's working in us and we believe in what he says, trust in what he's given us, God will keep you. He will guard you. He keep you in peace. But if I find myself unsettled and disturbed and things bother me and I worry and I'm anxious and I'm not bringing it to the Lord in prayer and seeking him, and therefore I am not going to be involved in reaching people because I'm taking care of who? I'm looking out for me. Man, I'm unstable and unsteady. I'm on unstable ground. And the scripture says, look, they that love the principal way of God, the love of the law, the ways of God, nothing shall cause them to stumble. Wisdom, the Bible says, rest in the heart of them that fear the Lord. Not shaken up and unstable. All these are indicators I'm not in the nest, Brother Howe. I've wandered from the place that God has given me. I'm like a fledgling that's got too close to the edge. And now I've fallen out. I can't get myself back in. I'm in danger. I'm dying. I'm closer to death than I've ever been before simply because I left a place that God's designed for me. And I need somebody to come pick me up, put me back in the nest. Amen.
Amen.
A few years ago, actually, it's been about 9 years ago now, we were out with those Grand Arrows. They was much smaller back then, but we was out riding the four-wheeler, taking them for a journey, had them all on the four-wheeler with us, Brother Leo, and we checked the mail. Honey loves, how many of y'all ladies like checking the mail? Ooh, that's a treat for her. She loves getting mail. So we out checking the mail. She's got these grandkids loving checking that mail. We out checking the mail, and I look up, and about 150 yards down the road, in the middle of the road, there's a little yearling doe. And she is bent over, and she looks like she's just wobbling. So I ease on up toward her, and as I get close to her, I realize that something was wrong with her. I started seeing skint marks on her. I pulled that four-wheeler up right beside her, reached out to her and put my hand on her and started petting her. She never even acted like I was in the world. That four-wheeler was there. So I pulled the four-wheeler off the road. I went back out there, and I grabbed that little doe, and I picked her up, and I brought her over to the side. I said, this is going to have to be a teachable moment about life and death with our grandkids. So I found a shady spot and laid her down, and we looked over and petted her, and I said, well, look, let's just go on back up to the house. We'll let her lay here. And I brought Mama and the grandkids back up to the house, rode back up there, picked her up, put her on my lap, and drove the four-wheeler back, and we brought her in the backyard, and we talked about life. We talked about death. We prayed over the deer. They wanted to pray. They were little bitty and wanted to pray. We prayed over the deer, and they were just so tender and kind and loved on her. And we have one of the guys in our community who has passed on to the Lord now, but he was our resident vet. He was a cow man. So I called him. And I said, "Brother Bill, we have a deer up here that obviously been hit, and she's kind of in bad shape. Can you run by here and see her?" He said, "I'll be about an hour, but I'll stop by." Well, he came by. One of the guys that worked with him sat on the back tailgate, and we picked her up, put her in his lap, and he carried her home, took her and put her in a pen, gave her a shot, put some salve on her. Well, this was around Easter. The next morning, Easter Sunday, he calls early and says, "Brother Nick, won't you bring them grandkids down here and come see this deer?" Well, we go on down there to go see the deer. Deer standing up, and boy, she's just as vibrant. She's doing okay. Everything looks good. We figured out a name for her before we ever went down there. Through that evening, one of them wanted to call her Pearl. Just call her Pearl. We was going to call her Pearl. The other grandkid, one of them said, "No, we want to call her Pickle. Because we found her in a..." She was in a pickle and we found her. So we settled on calling her Pickle Pearl. And she goes by PP. Now everybody knows her as PP. Pickle Pearl. Well, sure enough, she healed all up. She's good to go. We've had her. She's been in the community now for 9 years, and she's still having twins pretty much yearly from there. She's fairly small, but she's still having little ones and still around. She'll come up to her. We put a collar on her so we would recognize her and know who she was if anybody saw her, because everybody hunts around there. And she still has that old collar on her, and she'll come at times and eat out of somebody's hand. And one of the boys tried to take her collar off and put a new one on, and now she won't even show up in his yard anymore. She said, "I ain't coming back to you. You messing with me." Well, the point of the story is this. I was no different than old Pickle Pearl, and I needed the useful goodness of God, His mercies, to come down and pick me up when I couldn't do anything for myself. Amen. And then that tender kindness of the Lord, of His useful goodness that continues to guide me, His truth. God always couples His mercy and His truth together. If God shows you mercy, His useful goodness, He's going to give you His truth, and His truth of His useful guidance, He's going to guide you. And that's exactly what He done with this old reprobate, depraved sinner who liked living for himself. He came and found me in my depravity, called me out of that sin, impeached me from the throne of my life, and said, "He's taken over now as my shepherd and king." And then He began to teach me. He began to teach me how to reach people. Amen. And how to teach them. How to help equip them. And help mobilize them to be His missionaries and witnesses to go all over the world. And I want to tell you, it was because this old world had run slap over me and left me in the ditch for dead. But my good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, come picked me up and sacrificed His own life, shed His own blood to wash me of my sin and make me whole so I can be His. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you in here today, I'm not going to ask you if you've been saved. Most people tell you, "Yeah, I've been saved." I want to know, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if you made a decision. I'm not asking all those things, because you can put faith in all that and it won't do anything for you. God's plan is the best plan, but His plan don't save you. The person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is who saves. Amen. You have to trust Jesus with your life. And when you trust Jesus with your life, He's a deliverer. And that deliverer, the Lord Jesus, would deliver you to follow Him as His disciple. So I'm asking you today, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has His mercy and goodness and truth picked you up through His grace and put you on another course of living?
And you are who you are by the grace of God today. And you are going to commit in this place today to keep gathering, to keep connecting with God's people, and keep edifying them so that we can all be those missionaries that He's called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me today? Would you stand with me? Brother Howe's going to come. I'm going to say a word of prayer with you. Have you left the nest? Well, let me tell you what. I know somebody who can put you back in. He can get you back in. You can trust Him today. Father, we ask You to help at this time in this service, that You would burden and bless our heart with Your presence, that as You shepherd and guide us, that, Lord, You would show mercy, that You would reveal truth, that You would unleash Your grace, that You would rescue those that are still, Lord, in their sins today. Only You can save. And, Lord, we just pray that through Your drawing work and the power of Your Spirit, that You would release a man, a woman, a boy, a girl from the burden of trying to fix this on their own, which can't be fixed apart from You. You have to be the one who covers our sins and our life. So, Lord, we surrender this to You. We ask You to take this and use it for Your glory. And we're going to praise You in it right now for Jesus' namesake. Amen. Amen.
Brother Nick, you have a parting word before we come back this evening?
Well, we would love to see you tonight. We're gonna kind of explore about this idea of what happens when God's people in the past, when they got out of that nest, some of the questions that God had asked His people. Just for an example, remember where He came to Adam in the garden? He said, Where are you, Adam? Did God need Adam to tell Him where he was at? There's other times where not only does He say, where are you, but He says, what are you doing here? There's times where He says, where are you going? And we're going to look at a couple of those questions in the Scriptures of evidence that God, in His compassion toward us, will find us where we are, but it's always to bring us back, to that safe place that He has for us, even though it may be in the most dangerous places or work in the world. The safest place is under the wings of the Almighty, and we can trust Him with it. Amen?
Amen.
So we'd love to see you. We'd love to see you back with us tonight.